In the pantheon of modern literature, few novels have captured the imagination quite like Stephen King's 11/22/63. Published to critical acclaim in 2011, this masterpiece quickly became a cultural phenomenon, with celebrities from James Franco, who later starred in the Hulu adaptation, to Barack Obama citing it as a favorite. The novel's brilliant fusion of historical fiction, romance, and science fiction earned it a spot on Time Magazine's list of the top 10 fiction books of 2011 and the 2012 Los Angeles Times Book Prize. What makes this time travel narrative so compelling isn't just its premise, a man journeying back to prevent Kennedy's assassination, but the profound emotional journey at its core. As King himself remarked in interviews, this isn't a book about changing history, it's about how history changes us. With its haunting exploration of consequences and second chances, 11/22/63 invites us to consider a tantalizing question. If you could change the past, would you? And more importantly, should you? Jake Epping's ordinary life as an English teacher takes an extraordinary turn when his friend Al Templeton reveals a startling secret. In the pantry of Al's diner lies a portal to September 9, 1958, a rabbit hole through time that always returns travelers to the same moment, regardless of how long they spend in the past. Al, now dying of lung cancer, has been using this portal to attempt something momentous, preventing the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. But his illness has forced him to abandon the mission, and he implores Jake to take up the cause. The mechanics of this time travel are elegantly simple yet profound. Each journey through the portal resets everything. Previous trips are erased as if they never happened. Yet the traveler retains all memories and can bring objects back and forth. Most crucially, Al explains, the past resists change. It's obdurate, throwing obstacles in the way of anyone trying to alter significant events. Jake's first experimental trip through the portal offers a sensory feast of late 1950s America. The air tastes sweeter, root beer has a richer flavor, and everything seems more vivid and authentic. King masterfully captures this lost world through precise details. The smell of cigarette smoke everywhere, the casual racism and sexism, the gleaming chrome of vintage cars, and the astonishingly low prices, hamburgers for 19 cents. This isn't mere nostalgia, it's a fully realized world with both charm and darkness. Before committing to the Kennedy mission, Jake decides to test whether history can truly be changed by saving the family of his school janitor, Harry Dunning. In a heartbreaking essay, Harry had described how his father murdered most of his family with a hammer on Halloween night 1958. Jake travels to Derry, Maine, a town familiar to King readers from Ite, to prevent this tragedy. Derry immediately feels wrong, a place of lurking malevolence beneath its ordinary surface. As Jake investigates the Dunning family and tracks Frank Dunning, he experiences the past's resistance firsthand. Sudden illnesses, mechanical failures, and unexpected obstacles arise to thwart him. Yet he perseveres, ultimately confronting and killing Frank Dunning before he can murder his family. This success proves history can be changed, but at what cost? When Jake returns to 2011, he discovers Harry survived, only to die later in Vietnam, a consequence Jake never anticipated. Jake's main mission begins in earnest as he returns to 1958, determined to stop Lee Harvey Oswald. With years to wait before the assassination attempt, he settles in the small town of Jody, Texas, establishing himself as English teacher George Amberson. Here, the novel transcends its high-concept premise to become something richer, a portrait of a man finding his place in a world that isn't his own. In Jody, Jake discovers community, purpose, and most importantly, love. He directs school plays, forms meaningful friendships, and becomes an integral part of town life. King excels at creating this vibrant community populated with unforgettable characters. Deke Simmons, the principled school principal, Ms. Ellie Dougherty, the sharp-eyed librarian, and Mike Coslaw, a football player with unexpected acting talent. At the heart of Jake's new life is Sadie Dunhell, the school librarian with whom he falls deeply in love. Their relationship develops with tender authenticity, from their first dance at a school event to their passionate romance conducted in secret due to Sadie's pending divorce. King writes their love story with remarkable sensitivity, showing how Jake's deception about his origins creates an invisible barrier between them, even as their connection deepens. The novel's most powerful scenes come from this relationship. When Jake and Sadie perform an impromptu swing dance at a school function, their perfect synchronization captivates everyone watching. This dance becomes a metaphor for their relationship, beautiful, spontaneous, and ultimately fragile because of the secrets between them. As Jake builds this new life, he must balance it against his surveillance of Lee Harvey Oswald. King portrays Oswald not as a cartoon villain, but as a complex, damaged man, abusive to his wife Marina, yet capable of tenderness toward his daughter. Jake watches Oswald's life unfold, his return from Russia with his Russian wife, his political activities, his volatile temperament, and his growing isolation. The question haunts Jake: is this truly the man who will kill Kennedy, or might there be others involved? The past continues to resist Jake's interference. When he follows Oswald to General Edwin Walker's house to witness Oswald's earlier assassination attempt, Jake is diverted by a crisis. Sadie's mentally unstable ex-husband has attacked her, slashing her face. Jake must choose between his mission and the woman he loves. He chooses Sadie, rushing to her rescue while Oswald's bullet narrowly misses Walker across town. As Jake recovers from a brutal beating by bookies who suspect his foreknowledge of sporting events, he and Sadie plan their final attempt to stop Oswald. King masterfully builds tension as November 22, 1963 approaches. Jake has confessed his time traveler status to Sadie, who believes him despite the incredible nature of his story. The climactic day unfolds with breathtaking intensity. The past throws every possible obstacle in their path: car breakdowns, bus crashes, physical injuries, as they race to reach the Texas School Book Depository before Oswald can position himself at the sixth floor window. King creates unbearable suspense as they navigate these challenges, the clock ticking relentlessly toward 12:30 p.m. When they finally reach the depository and confront Oswald, the moment is both triumphant and devastating. Jake succeeds in disrupting Oswald's shot, saving Kennedy, but Sadie is fatally wounded in the process. As she dies in his arms, Jake promises to return to the past and fix everything, knowing he must reset the timeline to save her. The novel's most chilling sequence follows Jake's return to 2011, where he discovers that saving Kennedy has created a nightmarish alternate reality. Nuclear exchanges, environmental catastrophes, and societal collapse have brought the world to the brink of destruction. The Green Card Man, a mysterious figure connected to the time portal, explains that Jake's massive change to history has created strings that are tearing reality apart. Jake makes the heartbreaking decision to return to 1958 one final time, but only to observe, not interfere. He allows history to unfold as it originally did. Kennedy dies, and Jake never meets Sadie. By closing the circle, he restores the proper timeline and returns to a normal 2011. In the novel's poignant epilogue, Jake discovers that Sadie survived her ex-husband's attack without his intervention. Deke and Ellie arrive just in time to save her. Now an elderly woman being honored as Jody's Citizen of the Century, Sadie has lived a full life dedicated to public service. Jake attends the ceremony and asks her to dance to their song, In the Mood. Though she doesn't remember him, something stirs within her as they dance under the Texas stars, suggesting that some connections transcend even the barriers of rewritten time. Beyond its thrilling plot, 11:22-63 explores profound themes about the nature of time, consequence, and human connection. King suggests that time is not a linear progression, but an interconnected web where actions ripple outward in unexpected ways. The novel repeatedly demonstrates how even well-intentioned changes can lead to unforeseen and often terrible outcomes. The concept that the past harmonizes with itself runs throughout the narrative. Coincidences aren't random, but the past's way of maintaining its integrity. People and events echo across different times and places. The mysterious word Jimla appears in both Derry and Dallas. Characters from one timeline find parallels in another. Certain locations, like Derry, seem to attract darkness regardless of when Jake visits them. Most powerfully, the novel examines whether we can ever truly escape the weight of history, both personal and collective. Jake learns that changing external events doesn't necessarily heal internal wounds. His journey becomes less about altering history and more about understanding his place within it. At its heart, 11:22-63 is a love story, perhaps the most affecting King has ever written. Jake and Sadie's relationship forms the emotional core of the novel, transforming what could have been a straightforward thriller into something far more resonant. Their connection transcends time itself, suggesting that some bonds are powerful enough to leave impressions across rewritten realities. The novel's final dance scene ranks among King's most beautiful writing, a moment of grace where two people who should be strangers somehow recognize each other across the void of altered time. It's a testament to the novel's ultimate message. While we cannot escape the consequences of history, human connection offers redemption even in our darkest moments. King leaves us with a bittersweet truth that sometimes the greatest act of love is letting go, accepting the world as it is rather than risking everything to remake it according to our desires. As Jake finally understands, the dance itself matters more than changing the music to which we move. 11:22-63 continues to resonate with readers because it asks questions we all contemplate. If you could change your past mistakes, would you? And what price would you be willing to pay for that second chance? King's genius lies in showing us that these questions have no simple answers. Every change creates ripples we cannot predict. Every action carries consequences we cannot foresee. Yet within this sobering reality, the novel finds hope in human resilience and connection. As we close the book, we're left with Jake's final words to Sadie. We did have a wonderful dance, didn't we? In a world where time itself may be our most implacable adversary, perhaps that dance, that moment of perfect connection, is enough. Perhaps it's everything. Stephen King's masterwork reminds us that William Faulkner was right. The past is never dead. It's not even past. Our histories, personal and collective, continue to shape us in ways both visible and invisible. From the lingering echoes of childhood trauma to the societal ripples of major historical events, the past maintains its grip on our present with remarkable tenacity. Jake's journey through time demonstrates how each moment, each decision, creates intricate webs of consequence that extend far beyond their original scope. The novel explores this theme through multiple layers, from Jake's personal struggles with his own history to the broader implications of attempting to alter major historical events. We see how the past actively resists change, creating what Jake calls harmonies that echo through time. Small alterations spawn unexpected consequences, while larger attempts at change meet increasingly violent opposition from what he comes to think of as the past's immune system. Through Jake's experiences in the past, particularly his time in Jody, Texas, King illustrates how our attempts to escape history often lead us deeper into its embrace. The relationships Jake forms, especially with Sadie, show how new connections are inevitably shaped by old wounds and memories. Even as he tries to prevent one tragedy, he becomes entangled in countless other human stories, each with its own weight of history and consequence. In the end, 112263 isn't just about changing history. It's about understanding how history changes us and finding the courage to embrace the present moment with all its imperfections. The novel suggests that true heroism might lie not in grand gestures of historical intervention, but in the small, daily acts of accepting life as it comes. As Jake learns through his extraordinary journey, sometimes the most heroic act isn't changing the world, but accepting it as it is, scars, tragedies, and all, while still finding reasons to dance. The book ultimately argues that while we cannot escape the influence of the past, we can choose how we respond to it. Whether through remembrance, reconciliation, or simple acceptance, our relationship with history defines not just who we are, but who we might become. This understanding becomes Jake's true revelation, more profound than any insight about time travel or historical events. One of the novel's most fascinating concepts is that the past is obdurate. It actively resists change, especially to watershed moments in history. This resistance manifests in increasingly dangerous ways: car breakdowns, sudden illnesses, violent storms, and coincidental interruptions that seem designed to prevent interference with established events. King portrays this resistance not as a supernatural force, but as something inherent to the fabric of reality itself, a self-correcting mechanism that grows stronger in proportion to the significance of the potential change. When Jake attempts small alterations, the resistance is minimal, but as he approaches the Kennedy assassination, an event with massive historical implications, the past fights back with escalating ferocity. This concept elevates the novel beyond typical time travel stories by suggesting that history possesses its own integrity that cannot be casually violated. Jake's struggle isn't just against Oswald, but against the very nature of time itself, a far more formidable adversary. The past doesn't just happen, it protects itself. King's portrayal of America from 1958-1963 avoids both saccharine nostalgia and cynical dismissal. Instead, he presents what he calls the land of Ago in all its complicated reality, a place of both genuine community and systemic injustice, of innocence and corruption existing side by side. The sensory richness of this world is remarkable. The taste of root beer with more sass in it, the smell of burning leaves in autumn, the sound of doo-wop from car radios, the sight of women hanging laundry on backyard lines. King captures the texture of daily life with such precision that readers feel transported alongside Jake. Yet he never flinches from the darker aspects of the era. The casual racism, the limited opportunities for women, the shadow of nuclear fear, the poverty hidden beneath prosperity. In one powerful scene, Jake encounters segregated restrooms in the South, a colored facility that's little more than a path to a stream that crystallizes the injustice of the time. This balanced portrayal creates a complex moral landscape. The past may be beautiful in many ways, but it's not a paradise to be preserved unchanged. Jake's mission becomes more nuanced than simply saving Camelot. He must weigh the known evils of his time against the uncertain consequences of altering history. Among the novel's most enigmatic elements are the card men, mysterious figures who appear near the time portal. The yellow card man, later orange, then black, whom Jake first encounters seems to recognize him as a time traveler, muttering, "You're not supposed to be here," and calling Jake Jimla, a word that recurs throughout the narrative in seemingly unrelated contexts. Later, Jake meets the green card man, later Ochre, who explains that the portals are bubbles in time, thin places where realities connect. These card men appear to be guardians or monitors of these bubbles, though their exact nature remains deliberately ambiguous. Their deteriorating mental states and changing card colors suggest that proximity to these time distortions gradually destroys them. Through these characters, King explores a fascinating theory of time, that reality isn't fixed, but consists of strings like those on a guitar. Too many alterations create dissonance that can eventually shatter reality itself. This concept of time as a delicate instrument that can be played but also broken gives the novel's metaphysics unusual depth and consequence. The card men serve as warnings about the dangers of tampering with time, living embodiments of what happens when one stands too long at the intersection of multiple realities. Their madness and deterioration foreshadow the potential consequences of Jake's mission, suggesting that even if he succeeds, the price may be higher than he imagines. Throughout the novel, Jake grapples with questions of determinism versus free will. If the past resists change, does that mean some events are fated to occur regardless of intervention? Or can sufficient determination overcome even the most obdurate historical forces? King explores this tension through recurring motifs of dancing and music. When Jake and Sadie perform their spontaneous Lindy Hop at the school dance, they create a moment of perfect synchronization that seems both completely free and somehow destined. Their movements follow established patterns, yet feel entirely natural and unforced, a physical manifestation of how fate and choice might coexist. Similarly, the novel's structure creates a dance between inevitability and possibility. Certain events recur across timelines despite Jake's interventions, while others change in ways he never anticipated. This suggests a middle path between absolute determinism and unlimited free will, a world where patterns tend to reassert themselves but can be altered through sufficient effort and sacrifice. By the novel's end, Jake has learned that while he cannot control all outcomes, he can choose his response to them. In his final dance with the elderly Sadie, a woman who has lived an entirely different life without him, he finds a moment of grace that transcends questions of fate. Some connections, King suggests, exist beyond the constraints of linear time. Violence and its consequences form a central theme throughout the novel. From Frank Dunning's hammer to Oswald's rifle to Johnny Clayton's knife, weapons become extensions of damaged psyches seeking to impose their will on the world. King examines how violence ripples outward, affecting not just its immediate victims, but entire communities and, potentially, the course of history itself. Jake's own use of violence presents moral complexity. He kills Frank Dunning to save the Dunning family, yet this action weighs on him. Later, he contemplates killing Oswald preemptively, but hesitates, uncertain whether such an act is justified before Oswald has actually committed his crime. The novel asks, when is violence warranted? Can it ever truly solve problems, or does it inevitably create new ones? The Kennedy assassination represents violence on a national scale, a trauma that wounded America's collective psyche. Yet King suggests that preventing this single act of violence might unleash even greater destruction through unforeseen consequences. The nightmarish alternate 2011 Jake discovers, with its nuclear exchanges and environmental collapse, implies that history's course cannot be simplified into good and bad outcomes altered by removing single events. Through this exploration, King suggests that violence is never isolated. It creates patterns that repeat across time, echoing in ways we cannot predict. Jake's journey becomes not just about preventing a specific act of violence, but understanding the deeper patterns that give rise to it. As Jake establishes his life in Jodi, the novel explores what it means to find belonging in a place and time not your own. Despite being a man out of his era, Jake creates authentic connections and purpose in 1960s Texas. His teaching, his friendships, and especially his relationship with Sadie give him roots he never had in 2011. This creates the novel's central irony. Jake has traveled to the past on a temporary mission, yet finds a more meaningful life there than in his original time. His growing reluctance to complete his task stems not just from uncertainty about its consequences, but from his attachment to the life he's built, particularly with Sadie, who represents everything he never found in his own time. King uses this theme to examine nostalgia itself. Jake's experience suggests that the appeal of the past isn't just about simpler times or cheaper prices. It's about the possibility of connection and purpose that seems increasingly elusive in the fragmented modern world. Yet the novel also shows the dangers of romanticizing the past by unflinchingly portraying its injustices and limitations. By the story's end, Jake has learned that home isn't a particular time or place, but a state of being, a willingness to be fully present and engaged wherever and whenever you are. His final dance with the elderly Sadie represents this acceptance, an embrace of the present moment with all its imperfections rather than an attempt to recapture or recreate the past. Ultimately, 112263 is about acceptance, learning to live with history's immutable aspects while still finding meaning within its constraints. Jake's journey teaches him that some things cannot be fixed without breaking something else, that saving Kennedy might mean losing Sadie, that altering one tragedy might create countless others. The novel's most profound wisdom comes when Jake finally understands that his mission was misguided from the start, not because Kennedy's death wasn't tragic, but because no single change can fix history's complex tapestry without unraveling something else. The past isn't a machine with parts to be replaced, but an intricate ecosystem where everything connects to everything else. This realization doesn't lead to despair, but to a deeper appreciation for life's fragility and beauty. In the novel's final pages, Jake doesn't regret his journey, despite its heartbreaks. He has learned that some things must be accepted rather than changed, and that within that acceptance lies a different kind of freedom. As Jake and the elderly Sadie share one last dance under the Texas stars, King leaves us with a powerful truth. We cannot control time's flow, but we can choose how we move within it. We cannot rewrite history, but we can write our response to it. And sometimes that dance with what is, rather than what might have been, is enough. It has to be enough.